ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 27, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Rishiyo manavo deva manu putra maho jasaha kala sarve harer eva sabracha pattaya smitaha. All the rishis, manus, demigods and descendants of manu who are especially powerful are plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. This also includes the Prajapatis. Purport. Those who are comparatively less powerful are called Vibhuti, and those who are comparatively more powerful are called Avesh incarnations. In the previous verse, we stated, Avatarahiya Sankhya, there are uncountable incarnations, and many of those uncountable incarnations are summarized in this verse, because there are so many manus. Even in one day of Brahma, there are thousands of manus. What to speak of the Prajapatis? These, Prabhupada has mentioned, these may be called Vibhuti. They were the represent the some special feature or opulence of the Lord. We find in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the Vibhuti Yoga, there's so many representations of the Lord. Whenever we see a Stava, Stavaranam Himana, for instance, Paladas, Charasvidatya, that the is summarized by Lord Krishna, Yadyat Vibhuti Matsatam, Srimad Vujitam Ilva. Tattad Eva Bhagachitam, Namate Jam Sasambhavam. Whenever you say anything wonderful, know this to be a representation. Born from a, it's come from a tiny part of my actual opulence. So all these avatars are being described to lead up. In the next verse we have the famous verse, Ete Chamsha Kala Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavans, these first two lines. And especially the second pada is most famous, Krishna's two Bhagavans, which Jiva Goswami gives us the Paribhasha Sutra of the whole text, the definitive statement of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, is that Krishna is the original personality of God. So the actual subject of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna, Radha Krishna. These other avatars, they point to the greatness of Krishna, but they are so great. And they're only part and parcel of Krishna. Only means not to minimize, but the actual subject is Krishna. They all show the way to the greatness of Krishna. So Krishna is to be understood by his naam, guna, roop, leela. Everyone is to be understood by their naam, guna, roop, and for non-devotees we won't say leela, we may say karya, other activities. We want to understand that if one studies a historical figure, first of all one will have to see what his name is. He may have an individual name, he may have a name according to his qualities also. Just like there was one Caesar, and then they called all the other rulers after him, Caesar, because that's supposed to denote some great quality of ruling. When traditionally in Indian culture, a child is given a name that may be commiserate with the qualities that are expected to develop in him according to the astrological chart that is seen. There's like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the name Vishvamba, because in his astrological chart, as ascertained by Nilamba Chakravarti, his eternal grandfather, was seen that he will maintain the whole world. He is the maintainer of the whole world. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj was given that name because even within the womb, he underwent severe test. That was called Parikshit. So, the name in material existence, nam, bhoom, roop, name, form, qualities and activities, they are different from the person. But Krishna's nam, bhoom, roop, lila are none different from him. The name Krishna, or let's take a material example. Someone is called Sanjay. A boy is given the name Sanjay. But he could be called any name. But he's given the name Sanjay. They could choose any, but this name is given. And even if that name is given in respect to the qualities he's expected to develop, that's only for one lifetime. There was one famous Sanjay Gandhi, who died in a plane crash. Now he is mostly forgotten. Where is he now? He must be in another place, in another body. And if he's in a human body or in the body of a domesticated animal, then he'll have another name. Otherwise, no name. Cockroaches don't have names. So, if he's in the body of a cockroach, then he won't be having a particular name. So the name is, it's just a designation. Whereas the name Krishna, that is not a designation for Krishna. It is not an upadhi, not something that is given to define him, but rather the name Krishna is non-different from Krishna, because the name and the non-guru-rup lila and the deity, the person and the personality, they're all inextricably related eternally. That Krishna's name is not simply some name, but it describes his overall swarup, or the very characteristic of him, that he is all attractive. So the name Krishna is Krishna. It's not different from the person. It's not something used to denote the person, but it actually Krishna is, when we say Krishna is actually, that is, the name Krishna is as much Krishna as the person. Because what does a person consist of? A person consists of noun, rule, root, karma, chaitanya, or his consciousness or thought. These all are included within nam, rup, guna, lila. So they're all intricately connected. Krishna's quality, Krishna, all attractive. His form, blackish. His pastimes are also all attractive. So the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. We have to ascertain. We're talking about Krishna. Who is Krishna? You may ascertain. Who is Manmohan Singh? And you ascertain, well, what is his past? What is he doing? What has he done? What is his characteristics? But this is all temporary. It doesn't pertain to the actual person who is Manmohan Singh. But it refers to the name, form, qualities and activities that he's acquired according to his previous karmic activities under the modes of material nature. But Krishna, or the absolute truth, that is, there is no mundane distinction between the name, form, qualities and activities. It's all same. Krishna Naam, Krishna Guna, Krishna Lila Vrinda, Krishna Roop, Adai Shaktiranand. It's all on the transcendental platform. So there's no difference between Krishna's name, forms, qualities, and pastimes. Still, we describe that you'll find in Kirtan there's Nam Kirtan, Rup Kirtan, Gun Kirtan, Lila Kirtan. So they are considered differently, but in one sense with the understanding that they're ultimately all the same. So Krishna, Nam, he has so many names, Krishna, Shyamasundar, Yashodanandana, according to his Gun, Rup and Lila, he has so many names. And what are his qualities? He has unlimited transcendental qualities. Particularly in Krishna, we find the predominant quality is madhurya, sweetness. Particularly Vraja Kumar, Krishna in Vrindavan. Otherwise, we find that Krishna, in his non-different manifestation as Narayana, he is known as Aishwarya Purushottam, and Rama, Maryada Purushottam. Krishna is Lila Purushottam, Prem Purushottam. So the essence of Lila, or the essence of Prem, Prem Lila, is Madhur. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Madhurya Bhagavatasa, the essence of Bhagavan is his sweetness, his transcendental sweetness. This is appreciated to some extent, but not the lack of full appreciation of this marks the difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Sampradaya and other Sampradayas. Well, they stress more, I was saying yesterday, they stress more on the greatness in his, oh, only he is Trinikra, only he can make two great steps to cover the universe. But his third step, Vikra, we take three great steps. But what was great about putting his foot on the head of Bali Maharaj? That was greater than his other two steps. Because there's two steps by which he covered the lower part of the universe and the upper part of the universe. That shows a greatness that shows he's Bhagavan in the sense that no one else can do like that. No one else can cover the universe in two steps. But only a person of great magnanimity and loving disposition can accept the head of his servitor. After taking two great steps, and maybe Bali Maharaj says, put the third step on my head. And what's that? And just covered the universe with two steps. Half the universe with one step, and half the universe with another step. Now you just want to give me your tiny little head? What is this? But he sees that, yes, accepting Bali Maharaj as my surrendered servant, this is as much as or more than showing his overlordship of the universe. Because for Bhagavan, his exhibition of greatness is nothing very great for him. But what he cares about most of all is his loving relationships with his devotees. So those who are on the path of which Krishna Kaviraj Goswami calls almost astonishingly Ditta Bhakti, or crippled devotion. They appreciate God by his greatness. It's all from one perspective, from the perspective of the Krishna's covenant with Swami Aracharya. There's almost a fault in the kind of bhakti that fails to stress on the sweetness of Krishna. It stresses more on his greatness. But we worship him because he's very great. He's so powerful. But the worship of the pure worship of Krishna is not based on knowledge of his opulence, but on knowledge of his sweetness. So the knowledge of opulence is required for us because we are materialistic fools. So we have to admit that we should bow down towards a great person. And no one can compare with the greatness of Krishna, how he creates, maintains, and destroys millions of universes. But that is not really his greatness. His greatness is his greatest quality is his mercy upon his devotees. And he gives himself to his devotees. Ishwar Sharugna Loi Bhaktir Aparad. Alpusheva Bahumani Atapajanto Prasad. The greatness of he's the supreme controller. But his nature is not to be dictatorial, but in relationship with his devotees, he doesn't accept their offenses. He doesn't see their offenses. But if he, little service he accepts it as very great, to the extent that he's able to give himself to his devotee. So this is his greatness. When we can understand how he's controlling millions of universes, but he is controlled by the baby Krishna, is controlled by the clapping of the hands of the elderly gopis, and he sings and dances along with the clapping of their hands. This is the greatness of Krishna. That coincides with sweetness. So Nam Gun Rup, his Rup is Shamasunda, Vamshivadam, there's so many descriptions. Shikipuchya Moli, there are so many descriptions of Krishna's form, which uniquely Krishna has. There may be other Krishnas. Sometimes you meet people and say, my name is also Krishna. But you are not that Krishna. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesatanya. Bhagavan is worshipable. Who is his Bhagavan? The son of the king of Vrindavan, not anyone else. So others may claim this is Bhagavan, that is Bhagavan. He is defined as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Tadhama Vrindavan, in Vrindavan. The Namgun Rup and Leela. The specialty of Krishna is his Leela. That is inimitable. All the Leelas of the Supreme Lord are inimitable. We cannot imitate Natsya Avata Kurma. We cannot imitate Parashuram. They're inimitable, but especially Krishna Leela. All the Leelas of the Lord are very sweet, but Krishna Leela is especially very sweet. And he has many, many loving devotees, loving up to the level even beyond Dasya, beyond Sakya, even beyond Vatsalya, even beyond the mother, the love of Yashoda Mai, that is more than perfect, but even more intimate. Now, there's not to fault Mother Yashoda, not to fault the servants of Krishna. There's no fault in their service. It is purna, it's complete. But there's purnatya, purnatamam, most complete service of the gopikas of Vrindavan. So this, especially, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this, that even the bhakti of the Dwarkavasis, Mathura Vasis, is some tinge, not exactly material, but some tinge of personal desire for personal enjoyment. We shall be happy with Krishna. This is absent in the Vrajavasis, or only present to the extent that they realize that Krishna is happy with us. When we are happy with him, so we shall be happy with him. They're there, they measure everything in terms of Krishna's happiness. This is misused by the Sahajis. Therefore we should be very careful in describing this, because the Sahajiyas misuse all these topics. They say, well, Krishna wants his devotees to be happy. I'm his devotee, so I should be happy by sense gratification. So they totally misuse this. It's easy to misuse it by those who don't have this attitude of total surrender. This is, as Prabhupada described, love beyond surrender. Sarvadhanam parityaja mamekam sharanam vraja. But the Vrajavasi is the totally, fully, their whole being is only for Krishna. Only consider what is Krishna's happiness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to demonstrate this. Therefore, always Krishna Chaitanya, his name is also not different from him. Krishna Chaitanya means Krishna consciousness. He is Krishna consciousness. He is Krishna Chaitanya. We talk about Krishna consciousness, but he's always fully conscious of Krishna in all respects. So he is Krishna Chaitanya. And his goon is his particular quality, is Mahavadanyata. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prayavadanyata. Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Namibhavadushin. Even if possible, not possible, but beyond possible, even more than Krishna. Krishna is more than the other avatars because of the increment of sweetness. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even more than Krishna because the increment of mercy, that he distributes that sweetness. And with very widely, Patra Patra Vichana Hinaheshtana Stam Dejaha Pai Tali Deya Premanam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, without considering who is fit or unfit, what is proper time, place, circumstance, simply distributes love of Krishna up to the highest level. So his form is not Shamasandha, Gaurasandha, and his leela is this Prendam, giving love of Krishna, like by giving the name of Krishna. So this hearing, we should hear about Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya. Then, when we chant the name, then automatically the form, qualities, pastimes become manifest. So this Bhagavatam is describing the incarnations. Being this most important topic, in the Western countries, they don't understand what is the meaning of avatar. They have no proper concept. And in India, they've misused this concept. So anyone who shows a little magic, they take as an avatar. Nowadays, even people who don't show any magic at all, they also call them avatar. Just simply, you get an advertising agency and you can become an avatar. It's so ridiculous. This shows what is the lack of knowledge of Bhagavad Tattva Vigyan. So this is required to be preached, and also it's required that people know who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mostly people, even our own devotees, they think, well, we accept Chaitanya Mahaprabhu more or less on faith only. But if we understand what are the qualities of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it won't be a matter of faith. It will be clear that there is no doubt that he is Bhagavan. Just like the so many people, they think Krishna is he's an incarnation of it. He comes from Vishnu rather than Vishnu comes from Krishna, because they measure only in terms of achievements like walking over the universe. So they think, well, Krishna, he didn't do that much. He only lifted Govardhan Hill, and so he's just another incarnation. Vishnu, he's the supreme because he's so great. In the same way, they misunderstand Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just as a devotee, because he showed that. But those who have, he didn't show so many what foolish people consider to be miracles. He didn't show that so much. Of course, he showed his Vishwarupa, but it's not very famous. So, people think, oh, he's another devotee. Just another devotee. But they don't know what is the extent. Because it's, there is the case of Brahmavid Brahmaiva Bhavati. One who has knowledge of Brahma, he becomes Brahma. So unless we have some appreciation, then it's almost like a redundant statement. Unless we have some appreciation, we can't appreciate it. Unless we have an understanding what is actually the greatness of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we'll take him over just a devotee, or just our belief that he's Bhagavan. But they're not understanding that the real work of Bhagavan is not showing some what appear to be us to be miracles of lifting great weights and lifting up the earth, but his real work is his mercy on his devotees. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can give the praying dana as he has done. Even Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Nrsimha, they're not giving. They are also servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the non-different Brahman's servants. They come to keep the universe in order just for the coming of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With the whole, what is that? Achaitanya Midam Vishvam. This whole universe is lacking in consciousness, as if dull, dead. And even the great scholars and pundits, if they don't know Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then this Prabodhananda Saraswati says, then they're also achaitanya, as if dead, almost dead. So the acharyas, they have, Madhvacharya is here, they've done the great service revealing what is the dignity of Vaishnavism. Especially Madhvacharya. What is the dignity? It is bhakti. Bhakti is not just some stepping stone to jnana, as the envious Mayavadis say. Bhakti, that is the very nature of the Atma. He has revealed bhakti to that extent that we recognize the greatness of the Lord. We approaching the great awe and reverence. So especially, he has established what is the dignity of Vishnu, what is the dignity of the Vaishnava. He has established that. But that means that this material world is undignified. He has shown that that which is dignified is Vishnu, Vaishnava, Vaikuntha. But in doing so, it becomes very difficult for his followers to appreciate what is the transcendental indignity of Krishna. Because he deliberately, his very nature is to enjoy. So in dignity, there's automatically enjoyment is restricted. There's a kind of enjoyment of being noble and being worshipped by others. But it's difficult to say this without getting a materialistic concept of it. But if one actually wants to have fun, then throw out the dignity. And just enjoy yourself. It's very dangerous to preach in the world without a proper philosophical understanding. Because again, people just like the Sahajiyas, they will miss you. So then we just enjoy. We should just enjoy freely. Without any restrictions. Krishna is enjoying freedom without any restrictions. We should worship that. And we can enter into that on the transcendental platform. But that does not give any grounds for mundane, undignified behavior. So the necessity of distinguishing Krishna's dignity from the indignity of this material world necessitates the acharyas to deal with Krishna's apparently undignified activities, such as dancing with the gopis, I to deal with it either in a very cautious way or not to deal with it at all. As Madhvacharya, he didn't discuss this at all, because unless one has proper vision, it will seem to be immoral. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that the topmost morality, Ramya Kachadupasana Vrajabhadhu Vargena Yakalpita, the topmost morality is that of the gopis of Vrindavan. Had they not left their families to run out to see Krishna, that would have been immoral. That was the morality means to act according to that which is correct. So that which is correct on the material platform is only the perverted reflection of that which is correct on the transcendental platform, which means to act for the pleasure of Krishna. On the material platform, one should act for the pleasure, and not only for the pleasure, but under the guidance according to strict rules. Rules are required in this material world, because we are not moral. Therefore, rules are required. So, the woman should act under the discipline of the husband, brothers, sons, father, according to her station. That is correct. But on the transcendental platform, one acts only for the pleasure of Krishna. That is transcendental morality. It subjugates mundane morality. It is a very dangerous topic if misused, which it has been. So therefore it should be approached with great caution. But that doesn't mean it should not be approached. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to teach, that should be understood, but in a cautious manner. First one has to understand, what is the difference between prakriti and aprakriti? What is material and what is transcendental? Without understanding this, one should never attempt to understand what is Krishna's lila. Then one becomes a prakriti sahajya. Prakriti means mundane. Sahajya means one who takes everything very easily. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can say, what path he has given, he is sahajya. So what is it? I'm saying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a sahajya. Yes, he is sahajya. Aprakata sahajya, transcendental. Sahaj means that which is natural. So he has taught the natural path of the soul, which is simply to love Krishna. And sahaj also means that which is easy. So he's given a very easy process. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can attain Krishna. So the real meaning of sahajya is to follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. But there's another group which have designated themselves as sahajiyas and have mixed up material emotions. So they have designated material emotions as being transcendental. Therefore, they should probably be called prakriti sahajiyas, mundane. They are not actual. Their real sahajiya means a pure devotee. But now we have to say, generally we'll say sahajiya means those who they want to take the natural, what they consider to be the natural proclivity of the soul to love Krishna, being far away from that, they want to take their mundane emotions as being natural, whereas actually it's unnatural. It's unnatural to be attracted to the naam, guru, roop, lila of any mundane person. But because due to wrong practice since time immemorial, they take this as being natural or normal. So this topic of understanding who is Krishna, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this needs to be preached very widely in the world, beginning with understanding we're not the body. Otherwise, if we, as long as we're identifying with the mind and the senses and considering how I shall enjoy this, then any discussion of Krishna will be immediately contaminated by our misunderstanding. So how much work it takes to change people's consciousness around, including our own consciousness. Because our consciousness instead of being attracted like the honeybees to the nectar of Krishna Lila, we are attracted to the, like the flies to the stool of mundane activities. That is our unfortunate position. And even if we hear Krishna Lila, our tendency is to accept it as something for my own enjoyment. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us the natural path, but because we're in an unnatural position, we have to be trained how to take to that. There are so many topics to understand. Who is Krishna? Who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is our relationship with Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Is there any question?
Krishna is named according to his
Naam, Guru. Krishna is named according to his Guru, Rupa, Lila, yes.
Is there any name of Krishna because of his bodily smell?
Is there any name of Krishna according to his bodily smell? Suvasa. That's there we're singing every morning. Yashomati Nandana. Vamshivadana Suvasa. So Suvasa means one who lives nicely, one who smells nicely also. Can name that also.
That his body smells like hush.
It may be, in different times, places and circumstances. Not like